Hello, my name is Farah Dravandi. I'm at University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. And I'm at the 60th ASH annual meeting and will be reviewing the presentation on data on the phase one first in human study of AMG-330, an anti-CD33 BiTE antibody in relapse and refractory acute myeloid leukemia. CD33 is an antigen expressed on the surface of the vast majority of AML cases, over 99%, and has been target of antibody development in AML for a long time. The BiTE platform is now established in acute lymphoblastic leukemia with the approval of blinatumomab in relapsed and minimal residual disease ALL, and it has a CD3 and CD19. AMG-330 is a similar molecule where the targets are CD33 and CD3. And by engaging these targets, the molecule brings T cells to the close proximity of CD33 expressing leukemia cells and activates the T cells and results in T cell mediated killing of leukemic cells. The study was a dose finding study, a phase one trial in patients with relapse and refractory AML patients. Older than 18 who had either primary refractory or relapse disease could be enrolled, patients with APL as well as patients with secondary AML were excluded. And the initial design of the study was dose escalation in single patient cohorts. But at the later cohorts, the design was a classical 3+3 design. After the fifth cohort, because of the occurrence of significant cytokine release syndrome, the study was amended to allow for pre-dosing for dexamethasone, and also there was an initial step-up dosing performed, where the patients would receive a lower dose followed by a bigger dose of AMG-330 after a few days. And this was in order to mitigate cytokine release syndrome. After cohort 10, where there was two dose-limiting toxicities at a high dose of 480 micrograms per day, there was a further adjustment to the schedule, and a second step-up dosing was instigated, and whereby the patients would receive a lower initial dose of 10 micrograms per day for a few days, followed by 60 micrograms per day for a few days, followed by the eventual high target dose. The study has been ongoing, and about 40 patients have been accrued, and apart from cytokine release syndrome, there was no other major significant toxicity. Cytokine release syndrome of grade 4 was seen in two earlier cohorts, which led to the instigation of the steroids as well as step-up dosing. And with the appropriate measures, cytokine release syndrome was only seen as a dose-limiting toxicity at the dose of 480 micrograms, and this time it was because it was persistent grade 2 CRS. Among the later cohorts, there have been responses, including two CRs at the high doses of 102 micrograms per day target dose and 240 micrograms per day target dose. And also there have been two CRIs at earlier cohorts 8 and 9. There was one morphological leukemia state achievement in one of the very early cohorts of the study. All in all, this study validates the use of the BiTE platform in acute myeloid leukemia. Cytokine release syndrome is an expected toxicity, and we now have measures to try to minimize that. Neurological toxicity was seen, but was only grade 1 and 2 mainly, and it was headaches and dizziness. Further dose and schedule adjustments are being conducted, with eventually a dose expansion to see whether we can further establish its efficacy in treating patients with relapse and refractory AML. I will be reviewing the data from a phase one study of the bispecific antibody XmAb14045, a CD123-CD3 T-cell engaging antibody, which is being evaluated in patients with relapse and refractory CD123 expressing leukemias. CD123, or the alpha subunit of interleukin-3 receptor, is present on the surface of leukemic stem cells, as well as mature basophils. And it's also expressed on a number of other hematological malignancies, such as subsets of acute lymphoblastic leukemia, as well as BPDCN. As such, this has been a target for antibody-based drug development. This was a phase one study to evaluate the safety and to establish the first infusion and subsequent infusion doses, maximum tolerated doses of XmAb14045. Patients older than 18 who had CD123 expressing leukemias who had failed prior therapy were eligible to participate. However, the vast majority of the patients who were enrolled on the study, in fact, all patients apart from one, had relapse and refractory acute myeloid leukemia. The initial doses in the dose escalation scheme were administered to single patient cohorts, but subsequently the design was a classical 3+3 design. After the establishment of the dose of 1.3 microgram per kilogram per day as the maximum tolerated first infusion dose, a part B was initiated to look at maximum tolerated dose for second and subsequent doses. And this is based on preclinical studies that have shown that the highest likelihood of cytokine release syndrome, the major toxicity of these agents, is an first dose infusion. To date, 67 patients have been enrolled, but as I mentioned, one patient had relapsed B-cell ALL and was not reported on the study. The rest of the patients had relapsed and refractory acute myeloid leukemia, with the majority of them multiple prior therapies. The study drug has been well tolerated, and the major toxicity has been the expected cytokine release syndrome, which occurred in about 55% of patients, but was grade 3 or 4 in only about 6% of patients. And this has also led to risk mitigation measures, which is administration of steroids and diphenhydramine and Tylenol prior to administering the doses. Now, this agent or this molecule is an extended half-life molecule. It's a larger molecule with a longer duration or a larger molecule which requires only short infusions, as opposed to other dart and bite strategies which require continuous intravenous infusion. So we have now been able to see responses in about 28% of patients, and in some of these patients the responses have been durable, lasting several months. Two patients have been able to proceed to an allogeneic stem cell transplant. A third patient was referred for a transplant but was unable to undergo it due to an unrelated cardiomyopathy. So overall, this study further establishes the role of the potential role of bispecific antibodies, this time with a CD3, CD123 molecule. And clearly, these agents will hopefully have a role in AML, and particularly an area of my interest, which is measurable or minimal residual disease, where these agents can have a very significant role in the future.